Then it's mentioned after this morning's lesson on the brevity of life, or set your house in order. We should have sung for an invitation song, "It Won't Be Very Long." After speaking on the brevity of life this morning. But on Sunday evenings, we've been going through the Beatitudes of Jesus. We're on number 4. We count the lessons. But it's hungering and thirsting. Matthew 5, verse 6. "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Again, by definitions, Jesus is saying there's a blessing here. Something that would be blissful or happy, joyful, contentment. He says, if you'd like those qualities, here's something to do. And he says, blessed are they, and that's us, Christians. We've met the conditions. Blessed are they. We receive the blessing from above. It's promised by God. It's a blessing that's not dependent upon earthly situations or circumstances. It's immediate. You can have it right now. It's not something that you have to wait and see. No. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst. So Jesus, I put in your notes, takes a well-known physical sensation, develops a spiritual lesson for it. Hunger and thirst. We know what it's like to be hungry. We've experienced thirsty. We know what it takes to satisfy that hunger and that thirst. So Jesus takes that illustration and he says, I want you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. There should be a spiritual desire for godly things. Jesus is saying, I want you to have that desire for things eternal, for heavenly things, righteousness. Matthew 4, verse 4. I think I put some of these in your notes. Yes, I did. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Oh, there's something else besides hungering and thirsting for bread and water. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In John 6, verse 27, Jesus said, work not for the food that perishes. Well, we want to work for that food. But that's not our life. That's not our main goal. That's not eternal. But he said, work not for the food that perishes, but for the food which abides unto eternal life. Go for that. Go for that. So there's a blessing in seeking those things that God has provided. Things that are revealed in his word. And then that promise, they shall be filled. So that's the promise of satisfaction. It's kind of sensible, logical. God's going to create a hunger and a thirst in the soul. He's going to provide means for filling that sensation. He's not going to say, sorry, there's no satisfaction for your soul. But he wants us to hunger and thirst for that. Where'd I do my Bible here? No, I don't have it. Well, that's a song book. There a book out, Who Moved My Cheese? where'd my Bible go? There's one I want to add to your notes. It's in Psalm 63. Psalmist said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholds me. So there's a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. So let's take each of these in turn, as long as time permits. First phrase, that hunger and thirst. You know what it is to be hungry. We experience various degrees of that, but Jesus would the Jesus audience would recognize hunger as to be famished or starved or to crave food. I remember my mother-in-law, when she lived with us, she had Alzheimer's. We were taking care of her after my father-in-law died, Christine's dad. And Wilma would say, when it would be close to supper time, she'd say, "I need something for my mouth." That was her phrase. And when she did, she had that hunger pain or that desire or that craving, and she wanted that physical food, and she would search for it until I say, "Here, Wilma, let me get something for you." So she knew. She'd learned what it takes to relieve that sensation that seeks to be filled. My mouth I need something for my mouth. Hunger. Thirst, yeah, Jesus' audience would understand that. It means to be painfully feel the want of, eagerly long for, want, parched, to pant. Yeah. So in their travels, Jesus' audience, they would say, "You know, I know that illustration that you're using. Their travels, their provisions might be exhausted if they were going a certain length of distance, or there may have not been immediate relief available. Many times they might have to wait. They're probably thinking to Jesus, how can one be happy when he's hungering and thirsting? Jesus gives his audience, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, really? After righteousness. You know, in our day, there's plenty of immediate relief in our travels. We don't have to go very far till we meet that next big intersection on the freeway if we're traveling through the desert area. Yeah. We have refrigerators, there's air conditioning, 7-Elevens, fast foods. For us, our hungering and thirsting is not, for many of us here, at least here tonight, hungering and thirsting is not life-threatening. So Jesus says to his audience who understood hunger and thirst. Oh, yeah. Now Jesus makes that spiritual lesson for that. I want you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus, or Paul said, Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 2, I want you to seek those things that are above. Hunger and thirst after that. Set your affections on things above. Hunger and thirst after that. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First. So there's a hungering and a thirsting that Jesus wants to take from that physical sensation and make it a spiritual lesson. I want you to take that sensation and put it here, after spiritual things. Physically, I put in your notes, probably could skip over this, but you get the idea of what people will do to satisfy hunger and thirst. Esau sold his birthright to Jacob in Genesis 25 for bread and a pottage of lentils. In Hebrews 12, verse 16, that records that Old Testament story, the twins, Jacob and Esau. He was hungry, and he said in verse 32, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? What are you going to do when you hunger and thirst? Esau said, I'm going to sell my birthright for bread and a pottage of lentils. In the Israelites, when they were wandering in the wilderness, and they remembered they're out there in their travels on the way to Mount Sinai, and they had manna day after day, and they remembered the roast, the garlic, the onions that they had back in Egypt. They began to drool, and then they began to murmur. What are you going to do when you hunger and I'm tired of this manna. I want what we had before. What are you going to do, Israelites? I'm going to murmur against the leader. So God sent a plague among them. Another place, there's a famine in Samaria. In 2 Kings 6, verse 25, the donkey's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. Verse 29, the story of the two ladies, they made an agreement with each other, let's eat my son first, then we'll eat yours. So verse 29, we boiled my son and did eat him. Then the other lady reneged on the promise, they went to Elisha and solved the problem. Provide food for them. What people will do when they hunger and thirst. Take that same sensation and hunger and thirst for righteousness. Appetite is a sign of life. You know, the baby cries, hungry, feed me. You lose that appetite, and you lose that desire for food, and we recognize that as a danger sign. And many times we will go to that person when they say maybe they're in the hospital or just home and they're feeble, getting more feeble. We say, no, you need to eat. You need to drink. But in those last days, not hungry. Loss of appetite signals that something's wrong. If you've lost your appetite for spiritual things, something's wrong. We need a desire to attend the assemblies. We need to have a desire for Bible study. Have a desire for prayer, for ministry, for outreach. We need to have a desire to pick up those who have fallen. Lift those who are weak. I put in your notes, there's three statements that provide a summary of hunger and thirst. Number one, I put, this beatitude without compromise gives a demand for Christian living. You see, the Christian does not say, I'm interested in Christ. He says, for me to live is Christ. The Christian does not say, you know, I'd like to come to terms and make some arrangements with Christ. Well, the Christian says, I surrender all. The Christian does not say, you know, I'll catch Jesus when I can. He says, O Lamb of God, I come. This beatitude gives a demand for Christian living. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Second, this beatitude gives the main cause for failure in Christian living. Without hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the desire and the craving is absent. And Luke records it in Luke 6, verse 25, woe unto them that are full. I don't need any more. I'm very satisfied right with what I have. Woe to you who are satisfied or content with what the world offers and don't have desire for spiritual things. And that's a big barrier to successful Christian living, is not wanting more. And then the third one, it's not, he blessed are those who have attained. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Righteousness is not something that you arrive at and stop. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Really, you're the missionary, Paul. You're the one that's been selected by Jesus. He said, no, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Hunger and thirst. Now it's after righteousness. It means righteousness, integrity, virtue, uprightness, doing that which is right toward God, correctness of thinking, feeling, acting, The definition is in the word itself, is doing that which is right. Righteousness. This is right. It's defined by Jesus when he says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Keep going toward it. In Psalm 119, verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. So we need to have that hunger and thirst for God's word. Created within us is that desire for righteousness. In Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart, or as the deer, pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness, for God's revealed way. And then the last phrase is, for they shall be filled. I'm not putting your notes filled with what? Logical question, isn't it? With righteousness. You know, in those previous Beatitudes, in humility, meaning being poor in spirit, we're sorry for our sins, meaning we mourn for that over that situation. And now we have an immediate blessing of righteousness in God's sight. We're filled with forgiveness, with all spiritual blessings, the hope of heaven. We're filled. We're satisfied. We're full. No space for any more. I have all that I need. I'm complete. Lack nothing. But here's the paradox. Here it is. A statement that seems to be contradictory. You know, physically we get full. Oh, I can't eat anymore. I am so stuffed. But yet we get hungry again, don't we? The desire keeps returning. Same spiritually. We're to keep hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We attend an assembly, a worship assembly, or a seminar, or a spiritual workshop, and then, oh, that was good. But we need to keep coming back for more. Keep coming back. We enjoy the fullness of the moment? Sure do. But then after time, you know, don't lose that desire. Just as we do physically. Well, yeah, I've had plenty. But you know, in a couple more hours, I'll want some more. Same thing with spirituality. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's not a one-time filling. I saw this story. I'll close with this one. Just a paragraph. The story is told of a young man coming to visit the wise man. And he asked to have knowledge like he had, like the wise man had. The wise man led the young man into a pool of water. You've probably heard this before. So in complete trust, the young man allowed the wise man to plunge him beneath the water. However, the wise man kept holding the young man under the water. The young man began to struggle and gasp. Finally, pushing himself up above the water, the wise man asked him, "What did you want most when your head was under the water?" The young man shouted, "Air! I wanted air!" The wise man replied, "When you want knowledge like you wanted air, you'll have it." Get the idea? I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Don't make assembly attendance commonplace, or Bible class, or fellowship, or ministry, or good works, discipleship. Hunger and thirst for it continually. Filled? Yeah. I'm going to need to be filled again in a couple hours or a couple days. That's the lesson. Blessed are they, us, who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst for it. So that's the lesson. We'll have the next one in line next Sunday evening, Lord willing. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. I use another word, song of exhortation. We plead, we pray. We ask you to answer that gospel. Jesus, when he commissioned his apostles, in his last words before he ascended back to the Father in Matthew 28, he says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all the nations. How? baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to everybody, every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's a salvation message, a salvation invitation that we offer at the close of each lesson. You're subject to it if you've not obeyed it already. So Dennis, let's stand and make your way to sing this encouragement. And whosoever will, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply let it be known at the close of the song.